Very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us again, especially for the last 1 hour of the show. So this last 1 hour, we want to focus on the Supreme Court judgment that affirmed the election of Ahmed Lawan as the duly elected senatorial candidate for Yobe North senatorial seat. That's right. I could chronicle what happened, and then we could go on and talk about it. But because of time, and because I would love for you to also engage with Liberos Oshoma, who is my guest this morning on the show, we'll just get into it. Liberos, thank you again for joining us on the show at a very short notice. Thank you.
My pleasure, always.
Let's begin by your assessment or your analysis of the judgment of the Supreme Court yesterday.
This is one of those days where the common man will say they have lost hope in the judiciary. But for those of us that have been following events, we knew it was going to happen. The day Akpabio was gifted a ticket by the Supreme Court, a highly placed person in INEC told me, "Don't worry, you are shocked about this one." I wonder what you will say when Lawa's own will happen. He said, because with what the Supreme Court had done, it is obvious that they will give Lawa his own too. So, when it happened, I just simply smiled and said, "Well, I already saw this coming." Because even INEC, after that primary, did that mean the second primary? INEC started singing a different song. Also, that some I think about two advocates, the spokesperson and then the head of legal in INEC, were on air to say that Akpabio and Lawa actually are candidates validly recognized. I think Mike Igini also was on air to say, no, that is not the position. These people did not participate in primaries. At what point did they collect the expression of interest form and then the nomination form for the two offices? Because it's also a notorious fact that after the time the primaries, the first primaries were going on, these two candidates were contesting for the presidential primaries of the same party, only for them to withdraw from the presidential primaries. Our Lawa was defeated, and then the party had to now compensate him by saying, by invalidating the primaries that produced their candidates for those senatorial election, and then conducting another arrangement. I would call it a primary. And so that primary now had been validated by the Supreme Court of the land, and they will tell you where the Supreme Court has spoken. But I like the minority judgment.
Okay.
And they said that the second primary was a ruse. In their words, that was a ruse. Because you can't conduct a second primary without even cancelling
the first one.
The first one was not cancelled. And so what did the majority judgment do? They looked for technicality. The same Supreme Court that consistently admonished lawyers not to sacrifice justice at the altar of technicality. And what did they say? Despite the clear provision of the Electoral Act, that all pre-election matters must be initiated by originating summons, they now said no, that since he alleged irregularity, fraud in the primary, the second primary, that he ought to have come by way of a statement of claim to call witnesses. How many years you go to call witnesses? You know, the same Supreme Court that tries to limit the time for prosecuting electoral matters. In another breath, I capitulated simply because you want to give a ticket to somebody. You now recognize a primary that never had, because in the words of the minority judgment, although it's minority,
yeah,
so bitter, like
yeah,
you say,
yeah,
but this, the fact analyzed therein, cannot, you know, be justified. They must be taking cognizance of what are the facts that the second primary ought not to have heard, because the primaries conducted, the party itself did not cancel the primaries.
The initial primary.
Ahead. And like we say, elementary in law, you can't put something on nothing and expect it to stand. It will fall like a pack of cards. So the second primary upon which the Supreme Court is recognizing Ahmed is standing on nothing. So what you are telling Nigerians who even had small altar of faith in the forthcoming election is that the Supreme Court can, you know, do anything. So that's quite unfortunate.
I want to, I want us to look at the technicalities here that the Supreme Court mentioned. Are those technicalities, is the technicality valid about originating summons and right of summons? Writ of summons, is it valid or is something that is not valid?
What the Supreme Court is saying is that if you are, since you are alleging irregularity, you are claiming that the election was fraudulent, that you ought to have come by way of writ of summons, that we allow you to call witnesses to prove this fraud, and then allow the other man to also call witnesses to counter.
Is that what the law stipulates?
Yes, that's what law says once fraud is alleged. But also the law also says that for pre-election matters,
okay,
you must come by way of originating process because of time. Because of time. That's the position of the electoral. You must come by originating process. But in this case, let's even look at it, assuming without conceding that, yes, the Supreme Court is right in that direction. Also, the issue of cancellation of primaries.
Yeah.
Why didn't the majority judgment mention it? That, oh, this primaries was cancelled. And so they have power to conduct another primary. So on the face of that fact, that the primary was not cancelled, every other thing falls flat on its face. It's secondary. So you can't even now be talking about fraudulent irregularities and the rest for that second primary, because it was not validly conducted in the eye of the law, because there is a subsisting primary and results had been announced, and that primaries had not been cancelled. So, why can you conduct two primaries at the same time? Which one that you don't want INEC to take? So, that's the problem here. That's the big challenge. So, assuming that, yes, he didn't come by way of writ of summons.
Right.
But
right.
The major question, let's even take what the Supreme Court usually do. It's okay, let's take a position of law. We agree that it ought to have come by way of originating summons on the issue of fraud at the rest. But there's a position of law here that this primary itself was not cancelled. So since it wasn't cancelled, in the eye of the law, it is valid. Since it is valid, the second one is a ruse. So we won't even delve into it.
Just to be very clear, Liberals, we have tried to talk about this judgment, the majority judgment and the minority judgment, but in your overall assessment, how would you suppose this message is getting across to Nigerians out there? Because if you go out there, opinions are sharply divided as to,
You see, what is happening in Nigeria is quite unfortunate. Just like the new Naira note issue.
Right.
For political sentiment and political consideration, some persons don't even mind others suffering because of political consideration.
Hmm.
You say, you just support it blindly without considering. Sorry, quickly, I'm digressing. You say, yes, it is to stop vote buying.
Hmm.
But bankers are having to jump the fence to protect their lives against a mob attack on the allegation by the CBN that they are the ones holding currency. We are not considering those ones. Bankers, my bank yesterday in my area had to close abruptly, called in the DPO. The queues in the banks were not considering those ones. We just say, it is to stop vote buying, and then we are clapping. In the same vein, here, what you see playing out here, Niger, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, if the APC, if I'm here, the APC had blindly supported a two-step down, it was defeated at primary, so it was the right. And so you now begin to look for any and every reason to endorse what the Supreme Court has done and say it is right. But if you are on the other end, you now say that supporting the candidate of the two other or the various other political parties,
right.
You say no, it's right. Wrong, even if you will support it tomorrow. If Nigerians, for once, we condemn what is condemnable and endorse what is right in the eye of the law, you will see, including lawyers, you will see that for once, we will march towards redeeming ourselves from the strongholds of those that are enslaving us. But unfortunately, for a lot of consideration, political, cultural, ethnicity, religion, we will rather blindly follow some of these issues. That is why these people, they will do anything and say, well, forget them. They will just argue. Do you know, Sheriff, what is happening in Nigeria today? There's no fuel, there's no money. Some countries will shut down. But in Nigeria, we will look for a way to go on. Coupled with this kind of decision that is emanating from the highest court of the land, nobody's worried, nobody's bothered. We'll just say, we'll carry on, go on, and say, you know, concern me. But you forget that we say the court is the last hope of the common man. The hope of the common man, a common man, machina, is being destroyed today. It is machina, it is in APC, yeah, no concern you. But tomorrow, you can get to the same court seeking justice, and that justice will be compromised like this. So that is why I say that Nigeria is where it is by our collective actions and inaction that we often limit to our government, but in reality, you know, involves all of us.
Do you think, liberals, do you think that the Supreme Court could have ordered for a rerun of the primaries instead?
There's no need to begin to talk about a rerun of the primaries that is valid, that was not cancelled. The time for cancellation.
But is that a possibility, looking at the time frame left now? Is that a reasonable possibility?
No, that is not the position of the law. We can't be talking about conjecture. You cannot, Section 33 is clear. Once a candidate is nominated, it can only be substituted except on grounds of withdrawal or death. So, in this case, the man says, I will not withdraw. So, I came to you and asked you. You said you are not interested because you believe that the powers that be want to gift you the presidency. And so, you voluntarily withdrew from the race. So, you were not even a party at the lower court. So, at the end of the day, now election had been concluded. That gift that you were expecting was not given to you. I have breast the tape, and then they are giving you the medal. Have you seen that kind? we went for 100 meters. You were on the line for the race. They now told you, don't worry, don't worry. Come and run the 200 meter. We will we'll make you win. We'll disqualify every other person. And then you withdrew from the race. And we ran the race. I breast the tape. And then that other 200 meters we went to run. You know, somehow you didn't win. You're coming back to the 100 meter. And they're giving you the medal. And the Supreme Court is saying this first 100 meter race that was run
right
was not cancelled. So there was no need for another one. So even if you conducted another one, it is not valid. This reminded me of what my son just complained of about 2 weeks ago that happened in Abeokuta.
Okay.
For World Athletics Federation, amateur, 100 meters, 200 meters, and the relay and the rest. Under 12, under 16, under 15, and under 17. He said they got there, and somebody will sit down, stand up and say, oh boy, this under 17, he tough, oh, let me go to under 15. And he was not asking himself. So can somebody else downgrade his age like that? This is stark reality for him of what Nigeria is. That is the first time it's coming out. This is an amateur.
He got the rude awakening of what the Nigeria is.
He got the rude awakening of what Nigeria is. And he came back to me to say, Daddy, is this the way it is done? That somebody will live under 15 and go to under 12. Or that somebody who is already an athlete running the national, competing at the national sport festival will come for amateur where you want to select future stars and the organizers, the members of stars, FIFA badge recognized athletes will be arguing and debating it, the rightness or wrongness of it. And I told my son, I said, unfortunately, welcome to Nigeria. Toby Amosu probably passed through the same thing in the same Ogun State some years back. But when she got to America,
right,
she was recognized. So don't worry. Don't be discouraged. Pass through the process. And someday when you also get abroad.
I want us to talk about, you know, what this portends for the judiciary as a whole. I want to reckon with the fact that this may be a huge argument even amongst the, you know, legal profession members themselves. But what does this mean in your own assessment for the judiciary? Is it part of evolution or is it a setback?
You can't call this evolution. That is why I gave you example with the experience of my son. Imagine his shock. That is the shock that the average Nigerian will get now. That you mean the people, judges, that we see, we think, the ideas are up in the heavens. We look at broad day robbery and find a technical point that is even faulty to endorse it. If it was a unanimous decision, you now begin to think and say, well, maybe there's some element of, let's even try to reason with them. It is 2-3. It is 2-3. And so you read the minority judgment, it resonates with the common man, it resonates with the reasonable lawyer more than the majority judgment. What it even means is that even the judges are not in agreement.
Yeah, that's what it means, yes. Yes.
So if the judges themselves are not in agreement, you can understand the sharp division amongst senior lawyers, not talk of junior lawyers. So the ordinary man, that little hope, that fragile hope that they have in the process will just vanish. So it's a setback. It is not an evolution. We have passed this stage. We had thought that our democracy had passed this stage. So, but meanwhile, this is the same court after we have voted that will be used to determine the validity or otherwise.
How does that make you feel?
What it makes me feel is that forget it. There is no even need for me. I'm not trying to discourage people, but what the I feel like somebody told me yesterday, why should I vote when even after 5 seconds or 7 seconds maximum can sit down and invalidate what we did and give it to somebody else? It's just like the people of Imo voting. After voting in an election, the person that came forth, you know, gave the person the judgment. So why would people be encouraged to go queue up and collect PVC? But that does not mean I'm discouraging people, because you can still vote and the matter will get to the court overwhelmingly. So with all these things, I think we need to be circumspect. Look at America. Trump had about 50-something cases in courts prior to the election and even after the election. And all the judges were unanimous. You cannot use us to destroy the democracy that the people are taking time to build. You can't use courts to truncate the will of the majority of Americans. Why our judges not reasoning?
Do you feel the judiciary isn't independent of other arms of government? Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to it after this break. Liberos Ashoma will rejoin us in a moment.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations. Here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, have you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yes.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good, and finally!
You should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer her prayer.
Please, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's not about finding happiness in your home. You pray.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 8:36 from our studio this morning, and I have Liberos Ashoma on the show via the telephone. And we've been talking about the Supreme Court judgment on the APC versus Machina for the struggle over who represents the party for the Yobe North senatorial seats at the National Assembly in the forthcoming election. So you're welcome to join the conversation. Liberos is still on the telephone. Liberos, thank you again for taking time out. Very, very short notice, extremely short notice. Thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, always. My pleasure.
So let's go back to the question I asked earlier, whether you think that the judiciary is independent of other arms of government.
Yeah, so a large extent, you would say these decisions are not foisted on the judiciary. You can say they might be under consideration for this decision. Let me take your mind back a little bit. When Buhari came on board, the houses of judges, Supreme Court justices, were invaded. A lot of us cried foul. A huge volume of cash, foreign currencies, discovered in some houses. Even though some of us felt, look, there are procedures for disciplining judges. If you do this, you're going to lose it, because they will still find a way to say you didn't follow the procedure, technicality, which was what eventually played out. But one thing that was obvious was the fact that you had huge volume of cash at the homes of our justices, our judges. The big question that nobody had asked is how did they, you know,
come about the such
come
funds?
About those money. There were some allegations that will give you a peek into answering. I think one of the judges said that the former minister came and told him the president was interested in a matter, you know, and that he should do this way or do it that way. And those interests are not just, you know, fulfilled by words of mouth. they are also fulfilled by allegations, though something has changed in hands. So, if the ordinary man puts one and two together, say, look, these are not allegations, or these are not judgments that somebody will put a gun to your head to deliver. Some of us also that have handled matters at the election petition tribunal, our ears are full. We hear politicians say, don't worry, lawyer, do your thing. I will do my thing. There are even allegations of some person saying, I won't wait to waste my money at this stage. When we get upstairs, I know what to do. You hear this from politicians. So you can't take them in isolation. You can't take them in isolation to say, oh no, it's not happening.
So essentially, justice in Nigeria is for sale, essentially.
That's what that would mean. For now, this is the only profession I see practice. So, but that's what that would mean, that it can be for sale. That's why politicians will tell you, don't worry, we'll do it at the polls. When you can go to court, spend your money there. The senior advocate, you hear that in one election petition case, you see 10 senior advocates on one side, 4 on the other side, 6 on the third side. You now begin to ask yourself, is this not just there? Is there more to this that 10 senior advocates will be in one matter? There were allegations that for election petitions, billions were spent, shared among lawyers. So all of this, the ordinary man is listening and gathering. So when you hear some of these allegations and then you now read some judgments, you are forced to ask yourself, truly, is this law? Is this part of the Electoral Act, like somebody asked me yesterday? Or is this Cash Act?
Let me ask you, quickly, Sherry. Yeah.
Then you now begin to ask yourself that, look, so that means that the politician can tell you, just go and do whatever you want to do.
Right.
This cash, this redesigning of the Naira notes, you say you want to stop fraud at the poll. Have you also considered stopping fraud at the election petition tribunals and the courts? Can't the courts also look for a technical point,
right,
and say, look, you came forth, but you won? Can't that happen? So it's a holistic thing. So that's why I said the judgment, it's throwing up a whole lot of questions again that we're buried in the sand of time.
But don't you think, liberals, that the judiciary could be seen as the victim of the flawed system of Nigeria? Reason being that I've heard arguments from professionals like yourself, learned professionals like yourself, who have said that, the judiciary has been deliberately left vulnerable by the other arms of government. And I'm wondering, what can we do as a society to be able to properly insulate, like adequately insulate the judiciary from any kind of influence, internal, external, bottom up, all kinds of influence? How can we insulate the judiciary from such?
This is a hydra-headed question, so I will take it, the first one, being victim and insulation. We are all victims of our own actions and inactions. We are all victims. How are we victims? When you elect people who are not credible, and those same people will appoint people they are better than, and in turn, those people's action and inaction will affect the society. So, when you refuse to participate in the electoral process. What you indirectly also doing is giving power to the man who is not competent to rule over your affairs, including appointment of judges, including taking decisions whether you will live or die, including taking decisions whether you are educated, whether you are a human being, because you are not a human being if government says you are not. You commit a crime, even if government says you've committed a crime, even if you have not committed any crime. So that's the end result of our action and inaction. So the solution to insulate starts from not just electing a credible president, but also electing people who are credible into our legislative arms. Because they are the lawmakers. They are the ones that will make laws that will enable a power president or a weaker president. And so the solution to insulating our judiciary from the vagary of our society rests in all of us. It is somebody, if at all, assuming we would have considered that there was inducement, it is somebody that took the inducement. And Kayode Esho once said that once there is an allegation of corruption or bribery against a judge, there is a senior lawyer who is a conveyor of that. That is former Supreme Court of the justice of that memory. So it is somebody that took it. It is somebody that decided to play along. It is somebody that decided to manipulate the process. It is somebody that decided to say, okay, no, look, you go and become, even though you are not the rightful candidate. All of these are independent decisions. You know? So, that's why I say we are all involved in this. And the solution rests in our own hands.
In everybody's hands.
We need to look at the decisions that we take in our little corners and how it affects the rest of us. It is somebody that will look at a matter. You know that this matter, it's, you know,
it's a given.
Not right to go to court. But you collect money and say, let's go to court. It is somebody that knows that, okay, look, this matter, there is no need. But you say, don't worry. Let's go. You know? So it means also, somebody is in MBA that refused to sanction a lawyer takes a frivolous matter to court, but rather they will sanction a lawyer who criticized a judge for delivering a judgment that cannot stand in the face of both law and common sense. But lawyers took those decisions, those matters to court. They will not be sanctioned. Nobody will touch them. But in other crimes that we want to emulate, people are dealt with for even defending a matter that is obvious. Obvious. Lawyers go to jail for helping clients to compromise the process.
That's right. That's right.
So, but yeah.
That's right.
The more you help a client to compromise the process, the more you are celebrated, you are dressed in royal garb, and then you go about and tell people you are a very hardworking person.
Liberals, let's take some calls. Let's hear from people on our conversation this morning. Now, I was hoping that, I didn't know that we're gonna speak for this long, actually, because if you look at this particular case, again, it's put the judiciary under the spotlight as to, you know, how people feel. In fact, people are already concluding in their minds from messages I'm seeing here of what will happen in February and afterwards. So it's quite disturbing.
It is simple logic. It is simple logic. Actions, inactions, conclusion. So there's a precedent. You can't tell people not to draw a conclusion from the precedent. It is simple logic.
Let me take one or two calls. Lagos. There you go. We've got a few minutes to interact. 01-277-0993, 277-1993, 277-2993, and 277-3993. Female-only line is 01-465-7190. Please go straight to the point if you're calling us. Good morning to you.
Morning, Mr. Sherry.
Good morning.
Lucky Lola from Magboro. These are calls at times. I don't understand, though. You never participated in the election. You lost your presidential bid and you decided to find your way back, even with glaring evidence available to the public when it very, you know, starts. Congratulations to you. Bye bye.
Thanks for calling me. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. You're live on the radio.
Okay, sorry. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Okay. I sat in my car listening to what laborers were saying. It's very disheartening. It's really, really disheartening. Very, very. It's like we're in a hopeless place. And I don't know how we are going to get out of where we are. It's unfortunate that a few people, like you said, maybe five or seven people at the Supreme Court, will give a judgment that would the repercussions will hang over millions of Nigerians. I don't know why we're in a helpless state with these people. And it's very sad because, like you said, what's the point? But again, like you said, it's not discouraging people from going out to vote. But if five or seven people can come and do this kind of thing, when it was clear that they never participated in the original primary, what are we talking about? Don't people fear God? First and foremost, don't they fear God? Don't they even think that we're in an already bad place? They should do their bits to make it right. I don't know. I just feel so sad this morning. There's nothing to hope for in Nigeria. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm past the age of wanting to jackpot. If not, I would have gone too. It's unfortunate.
Thank you. Thanks for calling me. Appreciate it. Let's take one more call. Liberals, then we'll coast home. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This look at what's going on in Nigeria. Now, how about Papua? You have Lawan. How do we survive in this country? My brother.
We're listening to you.
Look at Akpabio, look at Lawan. Is this what I'm going to say again to stop us? What law will they give us now? On that, we're going through the window. I'm crying for this country.
Thanks for calling me. Thanks for calling me. Liberals, let's coast home now. Finally, I would like to also hear your thoughts on a particular issue you raised at the beginning about, you know, what the Electoral Act you said, that said any pre-election matter should go through originating summon, and then you have the writ of summons for the law itself. But in this particular case, because as looking at from an outsider view now, these two provisions are more like contradicting themselves. Isn't that a problem with the law itself now? Should we say, let's harmonize this? This is what it is.
It is, it's not contradictory. It's not contradictory. If you look at section 2, sub 4, it says every pre-election matter shall be commenced by an originating summons as specified in Form 3, 4, 5 of Appendix 6 to the Federal High Court Civil Procedure Rules, with such variations as circumstance may require. We now go further to say what shall accomplish the originating summons. That is not me. That is the law.
The law.
So, in interpreting the law, if you fail to take cognizance of that rule, you say, no, since there is allegation of fraud and malpractices in the primary, and so you ought to have come by way of writ of summons. So, the question is, why did the law now say you must come by originating summons. This is the position of the law. So it means if you go further, because pre-election matters have a time span for determination.
Okay.
So the law does not just say come by originating summons. Originating summons means that you're not calling witnesses. Just bring all the documents.
Yeah.
With irregularities are alleged. Bring the documents.
Liberals.
Irregularities.
Liberals, I'm afraid we have to go now. I wish we had more. Like I said, I didn't expect that we're even going to drag it for this long. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving us your time this morning. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Lagos, that's our show this morning. I'm almost certain that we have more much later on. I'm Sharif. Good morning to you.
There is a huge difference between the relative experience of salary earners and those of business owners and entrepreneurs. Someone who has never had cause to set up a business of his, who has never had cause to source for funds, turn it around, pay salaries, pay back the loan, and still make profit, cannot be expected to be hands-on when saddled with an economy.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria.